This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I made it through the rain right here in Los Angeles, California. Man. I started with a little bit of Barry Manilow.
Word That's about what you,
I, thank you. I appreciate Word that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this three-hour edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Lots to talk about from last night, Thursday night football, this upcoming weekend. Huge game in Las Vegas, Nevada tonight. The Pac-12 championship game. Every single Ohio support. The Ohio State Buckeye fan is suddenly just totally forgotten about how Ryan Day stinks and should get fired. Now they're suddenly like, don't let us back in the tournament. They're now diehard Utah Ute fans tonight. If USC wins, then obviously USC will make the college football playoff that, by the way, culminates in SoFi Stadium just up the road here in Los Angeles, California. So we'll get you ready for that one, get you ready for a huge Week 13 in the rest of the National Football League, get you ready for U.S. World Cup knockout round soccer.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Get you ready for that in the only way that we can, which is to get you up to the speed on the Netherlands and all things Dutch. That's coming up in hour number three. I wouldn't miss it.
Don't miss it.
If I were you, Tyrann Mathieu of the New Orleans Saints, who wrap up this week taking on Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, will be on this show because we are fair and balanced. Rashad White, the rookie from USC, is going to be on the show top of hour number three. And so we've got that going for us. Tommy Curran.
Tommy Curran
or Tom E. Curran. Same guy.
What
is going to be joining us
from,
I don't know. We can ask him. I bet you it stands for Edward.
Edward?
Yeah, he's a Thomas Edward.
Tommy, no doubt. That's what I would say. It stands for
that.
Edward.
Yeah, Edward. Edward is minus 1,000. For sure.
You'll take the under on that?
I mean, you got to lay 1,000 to win 100, but you know, it seems like it's guaranteed.
Okay, very good. So he'll be joining us shortly on this program. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey, Rich, good to be seeing
you. Got rid of the 5 o'clock shadow. You're totally clean shaven now.
No, I didn't shave this morning.
Okay, very good.
Woke up late.
Very good. Good to see you, Jay Felly, and for Mike Del Tufo, because he had to do some things and get things ready for tonight's game yesterday. That'll be good to. It's always great to see you here, though,
good to see
Jason.
You too.
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. Have you lit the candle, sir?
The candle is lit. It's Fantastic. Friday. We're ready to.
What are you wearing? What is that white sweatshirt you got on? I can't see the design.
LPGA tour from the Michelle Wee collection that I got. Remember when I went and did the little thing?
Yes,
for
yeah, very good. So, look at you.
Shout out to Emmett Talley.
So Del Tufo's not here. At least somebody's wearing free stuff.
Hey now.
Very good. Very good.
He's got a new fleece sweatshirt.
He's lit the candle. Very good.
Oh, we got a Uruguay free kick.
Uruguay free kick. I know that you're focused on. Well, here's the thing is that, if Uruguay scores, which they just did not, they would move on. They need one more goal in the next couple of minutes. Otherwise, they're knocked out of the World Cup. And Korea, which just had a remarkable stoppage time goal to beat who do they beat?
They beat Portugal.
They beat Portugal. Yeah,
Portugal was already through, and so they scored early. Korea answered in the first half, and then
Ronaldo wasn't even playing, right?
Ronaldo was subbed out early in the second half.
Oh, okay, because you can't mess up those eyebrows, right? Not if he's getting $200 million a year from the Saudis, apparently. So, very good. That's our update. Uruguay is screaming at the officials as they, I guess, wanted more time. Boy, they're following the ref up the tunnel right here.
But they're already 2 minutes extra on top of the
eight. I don't know. They are screaming and they are yelling and they are unfortunately not knocked out of the tournament.
Wow.
That'll wrap it up for the World Cup right there for Uruguay.
Man.
All right, so Thursday Night Football, let's talk about it. Man, I look at the Buffalo Bills, and obviously I see it through certain, green-colored glasses for the Jets. That's where the Jets want to be, man. That's where they want to be, where the years upon years upon years of getting kicked in the nards by the Patriots and Bill Belichick are in their rearview mirror, and the script has been flipped. The New England Patriots, since the 2020 season, have lost to the New England. The Buffalo Bills, since the 2020 season, have lost to the New England Patriots once. That's it. They've won four out of the last five, including a playoff victory last year and their first of two matchups this year. And the Bills have rebounded quite nicely, one would say, since their loss against the Minnesota Vikings on top of their loss against the Jets. And since Justin Jefferson came up with the catch of the century, which I think you could say, the 21st century, I mean, that catch that he's made, I know it's in the same century as Odell Beckham in his catch on Sunday night against the Cowboys, but at any rate, since that time, they overcame the thunder snow to play a home game in Detroit to beat the Cleveland Browns, needing 6 field goals from Tyler Bass in that one. And then they came back on Thanksgiving Day and survived the Detroit Lions and then kind of reverted to form. I know they didn't pop a 30-burger or a 40-burger on New England. I get it. I understand it. But to go into New England after we saw Mac Jones play his best game of the year against the Minnesota Vikings and to go into Gillette, by the way, Josh Allen on the post-game show on Amazon, kind of confirming that part of his deal with Gillette was a wink and a nod at the Patriots fans that he's the face front representation of the product that places its name on New England's home stadium. Mm-hmm. This was a really good win for them. Again, Allen didn't have another clean sheet night again, but that was a really good night. The whole idea that Belichick's supposed to take away the one thing that you do best, the one thing that you need to have in order to win, and Stephon Diggs was still him. Almost 100 yards receiving, 7 catches, and a touchdown. And then the Josh Allen throw to Gabe Davis, where he, shortly before going out of bounds, refusing to give up on the play, throws back into the middle of the field the absolute no-no cardinal sin for any quarterback in the NFL. Just when you think he's going to have to play, he's starting to play tight in the red zone because he keeps throwing interceptions there, and he just says, you know, hold my beer, folks. I'm still Josh freaking Allen, and I'm going to make this throw. And he throws a jump pass to Gabe Davis, touchdown. Wow, what a play that was. That's the Josh Allen that they need. And it seems that James Cook is starting to cook. And Devin Singletary is adding some crucial snaps at the running back position. He scored a rushing touchdown last night. That's the good stuff.
Yeah, he was
and
good.
Von Miller's put on IR. And just when you think that they can't put pressure on, they do. And the Bills now have a path where we come on this show on our next program on Monday, in advance of that Monday nighter that we'll be talking about on this show with our two player guests, Tyrann Mathieu of the Saints and Rashad White of the Bucks. It's entirely possible we come on the air this Monday after week 13 is all through. And if the Bengals beat the Chiefs, stop me if you've heard that one before, and the San Francisco 49ers beat the Miami Dolphins, entirely possible. If that all happens, your one seed going into week 14 would be the Buffalo Bills. That's a fact because the Bills have already beaten the Chiefs. The Chiefs and Bills would have the same record. Doesn't matter if the Titans and Ravens win, they'll still be a win behind. And the Dolphins, who have already beaten the Bills, would be 8-4 and sitting in the 5 spot right in front of the Bengals. Actually, they'd be sitting in the 6 spot because if the Bengals win and the Dolphins lose, the Bengals would cash in that tiebreak that they have over the Dolphins on that Thursday nighter that we all know that Tua wound up getting concussed in. Meanwhile, the Patriots fall to 6-6, and the Chargers have got a big opportunity to stay a full game in front of New England if they can only cool off my red-hot Vegas Raiders. Jets in Minnesota, that's the AFC playoff picture right there. Now that the Bills have won this game, setting themselves up to, after all, be the one seed in the AFC. There's a lot of ifs and buts to go in that. Do want to talk about the New England Patriots here for a second. Much being made of Mac Jones being caught on camera by the Amazon Prime Video crew, cursing up the storm in frustration. And a lot of folks on the Twitter machine thought he was saying that they should be passing more because the effing running game sucks. I saw it the way you saw it, Chris. He said quick game, not running game, quick game, because clearly the running game is what. I mean, the one guy who is as consistently tough,
bruising,
and difficult to deal with, the one guy you're circling right now on the New England offense is Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah,
I mean, he is a business decision in cleats, and New England's been riding him. Now, there is Marcus Jones, too, who scored the last two home touchdowns for the New England Patriots, the walk-off punt return against the Jets, and then the first touchdown night last night, where he grabs, in the quick game, I might add, in a really smart audible from Mac Jones, I might add, checks out of a run plate, flips it out to Marcus Jones, and off he goes for a touchdown. And by the way, I looked it up because he's a defensive back.
That was his first special teams guy of the year.
He's not available in fantasy leagues.
Right.
You can't. I don't know if the fantasy leagues are going to make him available now because he's and Bill is doing what Bill does, which is like, okay, everybody needs to be a Swiss Army knife around here. More you can do your job. And he stuck him out there on offense, touchdown. And just when you thought, man, you're doing higher registers, hey, maybe this could be a game. And it wasn't. But at any rate, Mac Jones talking about how the quick game effing sucks and you need to pass more. What he means is throw it down the field.
Downfield.
Okay? Throw it down the field.
Yeah.
And a perfect example of the quick game not working, and certainly the way Buffalo was playing, and you got to take your shots. And this team was down 24-7. It took them 17 plays in 5 minutes and 45 seconds, 60 to go 60 yards, averaging just a little less than 4 yards per snap to settle for a field goal and hope for the best, needing 2 onside kicks to work, including one to set up a quick touch. I mean, you need quick touchdowns. They don't have that ability, it seems. Or, as Mac Jones was being frustrated by it from what you're saying, they're not taking it. And at some point, that whole concept of you can't go broke making a profit is wrong when the clock will show you you're going broke right now. All right? You need to start chunk playing. You need to go.
Throw deep, baby.
And they couldn't or wouldn't. So this is Mac Jones after the game talking about what he was upset about and what was going through his lid.
Obviously, just kind of let my emotions get to me, but, you know, we're kind of playing from behind, and what I said was about throwing it deeper in the short game. You know, I got to execute that part better, but it's the short game that we kept going to, which was working, but I felt like we needed chunk plays, and, you know, I shouted that out to kind of get everyone going, and that's emotional, that's football. I'm passionate about this game, and obviously, you don't want to get your emotions, let, you know, get the best of you. But, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Like, it wasn't directed at anybody, just emotion coming out, and we kind of needed a spark, so.
Not directed at anyone, he said. I don't know who he was directing it at, but when you're saying, you know, let's F and pass because the quick game effing sucks, he's definitely talking to his play callers. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, or his position coach to talk to the coaches or what have you. And this is year two. This is year two. And, you know, I don't know what's happening there, but it's not only year two for him where he should have the ability to take the reins and say, this is my offense too, you know. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN tweeted out today saying if he was in Mac Jones's camp, he would say if you don't get a real bona fide lead pipe wielding, and I'm paraphrasing now, but an offensive coordinator with a lengthy resume as such, if you don't get one in here next year and don't show me a plan, I'm demanding a trade. That's what Dan Orlovsky said. And it's now week for the Patriots. 14. The clock is ticking, and they have a shot here to make the playoffs. They are 6-6. Okay? I don't think the Chargers are going to be running away from them, and they have a tie break in their back pocket on the Jets to put on the table and say, sorry, Jets, we're taking your spot, which is obviously what the Patriots would love to do. So they need to figure whatever the hell this is out. And my question I have, and I'm going to ask it of Tom Curran in a moment when he joins us, as Kendrick Bourne, the wide receiver of the Patriots, also said last night that on third down, they're basically too damn predictable. Kurt Warner's coming out and saying that the offense is way too vanilla and predictable. And Tom Curran, because we put things together here for when we have our guests come on throughout the season, and just to put all the puzzle pieces together for you before Tom joins us, Tom was saying when Josh McDaniels left, Belichick made the departure of McDaniels an opportunity to simplify the offense because too many skilled players coming in had trouble picking this thing up. If you simplify it, then the skilled players that they can bring in can get up to speed faster. That the McDaniel system that worked so great with Brady was difficult for everyone else to grasp. Kurt Warner's point is Mac can grasp it, and his special ability is to grasp not only in the playbook, in the meeting room, but in real time. And sometimes he even assimilates what's happening on the defense too quickly. He doesn't let things develop because he's smart enough to know. And when you simplify things, you're taking away his special abilities, what Kurt's saying. So if all of this stuff is happening, and we are in week 14, and the Bills are figuring stuff out, and I know the answer could be, well, the Vikings couldn't on Thanksgiving night. But if this is too simple and other defenses can figure this thing out, wouldn't Belichick know that? He's the king of eating this stuff up. If you try to come at him with something so simple, wouldn't he know that? I mean, isn't there the self-scouting going on in that building? Is the decision to go with Matt Patricia as the play caller and Joe Judge as, I guess, the co-offensive coordinator, even though they don't like titles there in New England, as we know, is that eventually going to be the epitaph of the 2022 New England Patriots? Here lies the season. Our stellar rookie quarterback regressed, and we missed the playoffs. Is that going to be it? Because the defense appears to be pretty damn good with Matt Judon leading the way. Although, I would counsel New England. Here I go. Going to give some tips to that Patriots coaching staff. I'm going to get a jugs machine with those defensive backs. How many of these interceptions can they drop? Holy crap. It's hitting them right in the hands. They could have had two against Zach Wilson a couple weeks ago. They could have really buried him. Thanksgiving night and last night. I thought Allen threw a pick six at one point last night. Boom, right off the hands. All right. Tom Curran's going to join us, 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. I'll get your 2 cents on the subject matter, Chris, since this is your team. Still to come on this program, Tyrann Mathieu, Rashad White, T.J. Jefferson going to give us some fantasy advice. You want to talk about the clock running out on their fantasy season? That's for a lot of people.
It's almost over, man.
I look forward to hearing your advice from the fantasy pulpit.
I think there's one in particular you're going to enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I look forward to that. That means you're saying go with Mike White. I don't want to say any more.
Not Mike White, necessarily.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Chris Brockman's got gambling advice. We're going to get you up to speed again on what you need to know about the Netherlands and the Dutch folk. And then I got some sneaky games under the radar. So much on this Friday show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to have a conversation. We're going to talk with Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Is that what I say?
Sounds terrible? Good. Okay, yeah, you thanks. Do a good job there.
Suze hates when I do that invitation.
The World Tournament of Soccer happening in Qatar is finally here. And with all the weird kickoff times and all the other sports happening simultaneously, it can be kind of hard to keep up. So to make sure you're up to speed, be sure to listen to Qatar Kick Around for the daily wrap-up of all the action from the tournament. From the group stage all the way to the final, Andy, Lars, and Peter are here for you with recaps and opinions of what happened that day in Qatar. Everything can be found at thekickaround.com, the Cumulus podcast channel on YouTube, or wherever you listen.
before we get to Tom Curran, let's play the soundbite, because we played Mac Jones's soundbite explaining what he was so upset on the sideline about, saying, you know, the quick game effing sucks. And Belichick was asked today, this morning, about Mac Jones's demonstrativeness on the sideline.
Well, you know, Mac's a very competitive guy. You know, love his attitude, love his passion for the game. He works as hard as anybody, and we'll, you know, as we move forward, try to, you know, work to find ways to be more efficient, be more productive, you know, in every area. So that's coaching, playing, you know, interaction with teammate, et cetera.
Tom Curran, how you doing, Tom?
Tremendous, Rich. How are you and the guy?
We're hanging
What's
in
up,
there.
Tom?
We're hanging in there. We love our quick game here, to be honest with you. We love it. We can't get enough of our quick game.
That's because you process so quickly.
What do you got for me? What do you got for me on that moment and what it really means inside that building, Tom?
Frustration has yielded to exasperation. Bill Belichick, you know, throughout the offseason, preached patience, which I think in some ways, in an unpatriotic fashion, translated to a lack of urgency. You know, we're going to be putting something new in. It's going to take some time. Need you to be patient. You know, it might be 5 or 6 weeks. You never know. Oh, maybe it'll be Thanksgiving. Yet the players have a season here going on, and they've got 21 touchdowns as an offense. Mac Jones is in his second year, and the offense has regressed so drastically, and they've handcuffed him from taking any risks at all so profoundly, then it's maddening. And I think we heard that in the locker room last night. I mean, and we're watching the game for the folks who stuck with it. God bless you all the way to the end. You're watching the Patriots punt when they're down 24-7 when you know the Bills are probably going to embark on an 8-minute drive afterwards. They actually did not. But the process for the Patriots to even get in the red zone, which they didn't cash in, took forever. And then you kick a field goal. I mean, you're not going to score enough points. And it's bizarre because the Patriots are mistake-laden, they're tentative. Timid was a word used to describe the offense by one of the players to our Phil Perry last night. And there's just a weird lack of urgency that exists with the team, it seems.
So the narrative that Belichick has let Mac Jones down because of who he hired as the offensive coordinator, and that's why he's regressed. Is that fair or not?
It's beyond fair. It's accurate. And it's not a narrative. It's straight facts. I mean, you can't go from one of the best offensive coordinators the league's seen this century to a guy who hasn't done it, no matter his acumen as a coach overall, and then ask him to implement a new offense after saying goodbye to their most competent offensive lineman, Shaq Mason, change the language, and do all that while you're coaching an offensive line that has tackles at either side that are sometimes hurt or inconsistent, plus start a rookie at left guard. It's not Matt Patricia's fault that he didn't say, no, I don't think I'm up to this. It's Bill's fault to think that it was going to work. And when the media spent the entire offseason, and fans did too, wondering why this was a good idea, Bill said, blame me. So that's really where it lands. And you're taking a step back in the second year of a rookie contract, which is the most valuable thing you can have in the NFL with a good quarterback. The Patriots have more cap space allocated to tight ends than any team in the league. They have the third most cap space allocated to wide receivers, believe it or not. And they won't throw the ball because they're afraid of mistakes.
So, I guess then why? Because it's not like Belichick doesn't know it, right? Or can't see it, or is loyalty something that he just is rewarding and believes in himself? You know what I mean? Like I don't get it. Like, I mean, he's brilliant.
Well,
he can self scout like anybody else, better than anybody else. So how does this happen, Tom?
I think that's a little bit of a mythology that surrounds Bill. He's perpetually surprised these days, perpetually stunned at the outcomes of things. What's going to happen if I bench Malcolm Butler in a Super Bowl? It's not like the Eagles are going to score 30 on us. No, they're going to score 41. What's Tom going to do? Move? Quit? Not play here anymore? Yeah. I mean, no one was more stunned by Brady saying, I'm out of here, than Bill. In 2019, they're negotiating a contract. Brady's pissed. He's about to walk out of camp. One of the assistants goes to Bill and says, you got to do something. He's about to leave. Bill goes, really? Yeah. So putting Matt Patricia in that spot and being cocksure that it's going to work just fine is just the latest instance of being really surprised that, wow, this didn't work as I thought it was going to. Who knew?
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, Patriots insider here on the Rich Eisen Show. There's still so much road left, though. You know what I mean? Like, there's five games left. There's a tie break that they can put on the table on the Jets and take their spot. And we did see – I mean, you want to talk about proof of life. Thanksgiving night, I thought Mac looked great. He was decisive, and there was an intermediate passing game that I didn't see last night that I did see against Minnesota. Might just chalk it up to different defenses. I don't know. But what do you think happens from here on the rest of the way, Tom?
That to me is what's fascinating to look at. What's the goal? To me, 2022 was not about winning a Super Bowl. It was about progress generated from what the team was last January with the decisions made. Is Mac Jones a better player? Does the team have a better, you know, are they more competitive with the Buffalo Bills? Not only are they just about the same level of competitiveness with that team, they've got the Miami Dolphins who are now undeniably ahead of them, and maybe the Jets are too. So you can get to 8-6 by beating Las Vegas and Arizona the next 2 weeks, and on paper that's certainly possible. You might even be able to get to 9-6 by surprising the Bengals on Christmas Eve. You know, they're up there competing for airspace with Santa. So you have the opportunity to get to 9-6, but to what end? And I don't like, Rich, when people are, oh, we're championship-driven here, nothing but Lombardis. Cut it out. You know, we spend a lot of time, and 31 franchises spend a lot of time not getting Lombardis and want an improving product. I think that's what's disappointing here is no matter what they do in the next 3 weeks or down the stretch, have they improved this year and gotten closer to reaching a point where they're part of the NFL's upper crust? Not even the elite, the upper crust, because they're awfully mediocre right now.
What about the idea of maybe listening to Mac and saying, all right, we're going to open this thing up, and Kendrick Bourne and guys who said last night that this was not working, and, you know, and maybe sacrifice, if you will, what you told us in the beginning of the season about what the intention of doing for and to this offense was, in fact, simplifying it because it was way too damn complicated underneath Josh McDaniel's tenure with Brady and a young kid in Mac Jones to the point where skilled players were having trouble getting up to speed if they just arrived, right? Isn't that what the concept was?
I think what's hard about that is Bill would say, I mean, we had Trent Brown who was sick. Isaiah Wynn's out. Jaudy Kajust, the other right tackle, is out. We're down to Connor McDermott, who we took off a practice squad from the Jets. What do you want us to do? But even if those guys were in there, maybe they would throw it downfield more. But if you look at the way the Patriots have behaved since the Bears game, they had a decent stretch with Bailey Zappe in there and Mac Jones. Steelers game in week two, then they threw it all over the place against the Ravens, lost the game, and had three picks. And after that three-pick game, I think Bill said, okay, see who we are here? We can't protect him. When he's under duress and we're asking him to be aggressive, he throws picks. Let's just try not to lose some of these games, Matt. And that's where these players are looking at each other and say, I didn't come here to not lose games offensively. Came here to play. So I think there's going to be a resistance on Bill's part to saying, all right, we're going to start chucking it everywhere against Arizona. Because he'll look at that as a winnable game. Hmm. But he threw it all over the place against Minnesota and won. I mean, it's weird. You have to score, but they're afraid to take the chances that are part and parcel of scoring.
How do you think this is all sitting with Kraft?
I'm sorry?
How do you think this is all sitting with RKK, Robert Kraft? How do you think this is all sitting with him right now?
Not great. You know, he pointed out that he wanted to see You know, he was as disappointed as anybody, not just in the fact the Patriots had declined, but they had gone 3 years without a playoff win. He mentioned that he wants the team to compete now. It's not doing that. He felt as if the investment in the players that the team made last year with Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar, Johnny Smith and Hunter Henry, that would be realized. He anticipated, and this is all that he said on the record in March at the owners' meeting, he anticipated there would be a lot of improvement for Mac Jones, that he felt that was the right guy. And he understood, or he didn't understand, he said the Bills earned the right to do an unconventional thing in his coaching staff. So he's not going to second-guess Bill because he's been right an awful lot with, you know, the coaching staff and the decisions he's made. But he's watching. He's paying attention. He wants to see progress, and it's not really happening this year. And the product is hard to swallow. You can be crappy. Just don't be boring and crappy.
Well, Tom, I'm going to give you one thing for you to maybe run down a ground. I don't mean to stir anything up there in the Boston area, but what gives that the Prince and Princess of Wales go to a stick game but not a Patriot game? Were they not there last night? What happened? Did they give the high hat to the Patriots? What happened? What gives?
Very simple. Celtic is a leprechaun.
Ah.
Okay. Mm. Inoffensive. Not going to be a problem for them. I mean, they got Ireland under their thumb for a long time. They don't have Northern Ireland back.
Look at you going geopolitical on me. Look at you going geopolitical on me.
You know, they're going to put Pat Patriot on the helmet. It's a direct shot at both the Brits and the royalty.
That's so true.
They specifically timed it up that way.
The muskets. They couldn't. They didn't want to see the whites of Matt Patricia's eyes, is what you're saying, pretty much, right there. You know.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people like that right now.
Brockman, you just rolled your eyes when
Tom,
I said that.
Color me shocked. The guy that gave up 600 yards and 40 points in the Super Bowl can't figure out how to run an offense.
And almost lost to Blake Bortles.
Like, sorry, Jesus, Blake. Thank God for Stephon Gilmore's hand.
Wow. This just turned into EEI all of a sudden. Look at you. Look at you.
It's not too late to fire him. I mean, there's still 5 games left.
That's not going to happen.
There will be no firing. You and I know that. Grab the menu away from him, maybe. But...
Jesus.
Meaning the play calling.
Has Joe Judge learned enough to take over play calling for the final 5 games?
Because
that was
this.
The plan, right?
I think that was an aspiration, but I have not. To hear Mac Jones speak, he is much more effusive in his praise of Matt Patricia. And again, Matt Patricia's hands have been tied. It's not just the play calling and coordinating an offense without a title. He's supposed to coach an offensive line that's in utter disarray, along with Billy Yates. I don't know if you could get any coach to execute that.
Hmm.
I mean, it would be like asking McDaniels to be the assistant offensive line coach while he was doing the offense. And let's be honest, McDaniels is better at offense than Patricia. But you would never do that. I mean, to think that this was going to work seamlessly is beyond whistling past the graveyard.
Tom Curran, God bless you. Have a great rest of your December if we don't talk before the beginning of the year. I always appreciate you.
I hate to be downcast. Was that too downcast?
No, this is the reality.
As you said,
it's not a narrative. These are facts. So that's what you said early on. But what does the E stand for? What does the E Tom E. Curran stand for, Tom?
Everything.
All right, go follow Tom Everything Curran on Twitter. Take care of yourself, Tom. Thanks.
Bye, guys.
There you go. That's Tom Everything Curran.
Good answer.
That might be a new drop, right? Everything.
Everything.
That's not a bad new drop. Everything.
We're good.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's take a break. We'll take your phone calls when we come back and get you set for hour number 2 on this program. It's a Friday. What's more likely? Chris Brockman's got a lot of good ones. And that's coming up right here on a busy Friday with Tyrann Mathieu of the Saints. Fun show yesterday where I surprised you guys with my power rankings for quarterback birthday parties. Top 10 quarterbacks I'd want to go to their birthday parties.
I got to say, that's a power ranking list I can get behind.
And I was, I'm telling you, it wasn't easy to come up with 10 that I'd actually want to go to.
Why'd you land on Minshew number one?
Why wouldn't you want to go to Gardner Minshew's birthday party? Are you out of your skull? Didn't he once, like, break his hand once to try and stick around and keep his college eligibility, and the way that he numbed himself was by drinking?
Yes.
Don't you think like Gardner Minshew's birthday party?
It's more of a frat party. Is that what you want? Or
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, that could be the vibes at a Minshew birthday.
See, the whole thing is like, do you want to go just... Am I putting myself in the position of being a 53-year-old man with three kids? You know, that's the way I put myself in that position. And I wouldn't mind just, you know, I mean, just one night.
Well, your idea of fun might be different than our
idea. One night, I'm taking an Uber, and I'm going to...
And you're rolling with Minshew.
Yeah, and I'm going to bounce some quarters.
Can you do a keg stand?
Huh?
Can you do a keg stand?
Keg stand. Do you own any jorts?
I don't.
Yeah.
But if it's a jorts party, then obviously it would be difficult for me to attend.
Yeah.
He's the one showing up in jorts. And then,
saying,
you know, Jimmy G.
And now we're talking.
Right? You never know who's going to happen. Brady may show up.
Yeah.
And but Kittle, who, I'll just say this. Kittle saw it. He liked it. He thinks we should do that by position.
By position?
Now, the issue would be if it's a tight end power ranking as to whose birthday party you'd want to attend. How do I choose between Kelce and Kittle? How would I do that?
You really can't. And thankfully, the gods have looked down upon us.
What do you mean?
In this situation. As it turns out,
yes.
George Kittle,
yes.
And Travis Kelce, yeah. Their birthdays, a mere 4 days apart.
So they could do it together. A joint birthday party.
Kelce, October 5th. Kittle, October 9th. Let's go.
So here's what we'll do. We could move National Tight Ends Week to that week. Give Kittle and Kelce a bye week. Let's just front load it to the NFL schedulers. Kansas City and San Francisco get a bye week that week.
Hey, Howard Katz. Hey, here's what I'm saying.
And actually, here's what it is. That's the kickoff to National Tight Ends Week that they'll both play on the next week.
We have them play each other.
They did that this year. And Greg Olsen called the game on Fox.
Perfect.
That was done purposefully,
perfect,
by the way. So if you're going to be able to schedule this stuff like that, and then I don't have to do a tight end power ranking.
No, then Gronk can DJ. Like, it'd be perfect.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, we just came up with a great idea. It's called workshopping, TJ.
Let's get a sponsor. Let's trademark this.
Where does Dalton Schultz rank?
Probably outside of the top 10.
Peyton Hendershot. By the way, does that guy sound like he should be on Yellowstone or 1883? Right? The Dutton Ranch was right next to the Hendershot's Ranch.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
You know what I mean?
Dalton Schultz's birthday is in July. So.
No, I'm not saying tight ends all have birthdays
I know,
together.
I'm just saying.
At some point, though, it's Kelce and it's Kittle, and everybody else just back off, okay?
It's everybody else.
You know what I mean? Now that Gronk's out of the league.
I'm going to Mike Gesicki's birthday party because it's going to be in South Beach. So you That's guys can true. Go party, no okay. offense, in Kansas City. I'm heading to South Beach and Feller's coming with me.
No, hey. No gritties allowed with that one.
Man, once a Henny hits, anything's, oh my God, anything's no possible.
Hey, now.
No gritties allowed. Yeah. Turzo in Iowa is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Turzo's Niners have a big game against the Dolphins coming up on Sunday. What's on your mind, Turzo?
Yes, they do. Just walked into Carl's. Everybody says, what up?
Hey.
Show.
Fantastic.
What's up?
they're saying, hi, here. Hold the phone up. Hold the phone up and tell them to say hi to everybody. Go for it, Turzo.
Hold on. Let me put you on speakerphone.
Go for it.
Everybody say hi to Rich Eisen. Hi,
Rich! Oh, my God.
Wow, like,
it's not even noon there yet.
That's amazing.
What's going on?
Hey, man, it's a Friday, man. Sometimes we have a little bit of fun here in Iowa. Come on now.
Okay. Fantastic.
Let's go.
I'm definitely going to Jimmy G's birthday party. There's going to be two outcomes that probably happens. You either come home and the house is completely empty, or you take your significant other with you and you probably go back home to an empty house.
Ah, very good. What, in Gardner Minshew, you wake up in a tub without an organ? Is that what you're talking about right there?
I think, or in Thailand, that might actually be it.
Okay.
Hey, Rich, I think that I have my top five games for this weekend. It's definitely the U.S. soccer match tomorrow, man. Okay. I love it when we can all get behind one team and just root for them. I think it's going to be awesome. Then the next one it has to be the Niners-Dolphins for me. That is just a huge game, and I think there's just so many implications that come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then K-State, TCU, there's just so much online for TCU.
Now you're in Big 12 country. Makes sense.
Yep. And then Utah, USC next. Again, just the outcome that's going to come out of that. I think the Utes actually come out and win that game. Mm-hmm. And then Chiefs-Bengals.
Mm. That's not a bad top five. You got USC and Utah as well before all that too, right? Love so that. You got that one that's on
yeah,
the next.
Yeah, that's tonight.
Okay. Well, say hi to everybody there in Iowa. Thanks for the call, yeah. Terzo.
Terzo, are we on in the bar right now?
Yeah, you guys are.
Oh, you see that? Fantastic. And to give a shout out to Carl's. There you go.
There you go. Well done. I love it. Carl's has Roku. That's always good.
Carl's has Roku.
Okay, very good.
See you, Terzo.
Hey.
Carl's has Roku.
Carl's has Roku.
I love it.
We like it.
I love it.
Carl's has Roku. I'm looking here. Is the Netherlands the national team sick?
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, hammer USA tomorrow.
I'm seeing that
a
right now.
A flu outbreak at Netherlands?
Yeah, I think so. Are you reading that?
No, Hoskins just told us.
I saw that.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
There's the Netherlands team is not well. 26 players have symptoms. Jeez.
Wow.
That's what I'm seeing. We'll read a little bit more about it.
Say.
No, I don't know. You don't root for that. You don't root for that. Stop it.
Rich, you root to win any way possible. This is the World Cup.
Okay. I honestly don't know what that means. Okay.
It means by any means necessary is what he's getting at.
Oh, my gosh. That's a 7A. That's an early wake.
I mean, we're
and, of course,
we're
you know, Fox lets you say, you know, they tell you to tune in an hour before. That's when their coverage starts. They don't tell you when toes actually meet ball. Toes actually meet ball at 10 Eastern, 7 o'clock out here. My kids keep saying they're going to wake up for it. Like, that ain't happening.
You should just, like, air horn situation at, like, 6:58.
Air horn.
In each of their rooms.
How would that go in your house as your kid's trying to sleep? How would that be?
Oh, he's already awake.
Oh, okay, that's right.
He gets up at 6.
You're in different spots.
He's a GD farmer.
He's the one pushing the air horn.
Yeah.
Cage is walking around like, burr, 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 burr. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. All right, so Tyrann Mathieu's on our program, and we also have our Rashad White joining us.
Nice.
Last time I saw him in person, he was throwing Cadre Diggs out of the Munich club. Running for 100 yards, and then, man, what the hell happened in Cleveland to the Buccaneers? What the hell was that? And they're coming in, and they're taking on a Saints team that has their number, brother, on defense. Has their number.
Offense can't score, though, so it's, you know,
well,
it could
I mean,
be a slog
or,
Monday night.
Or they can score if Alvin Kamara runs you down.
Maybe.
There you go.
Alvin Kamara's been so disappointing to me.
That whole Saints team has been.
I'm just talking from a fantasy
perspective. Tyrann Mathieu went home for this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But then Jameis broke his back, like, you know.
And, well, then he's not back, though.
Mike Thomas couldn't get healthy.
Yeah.
You know?
So we'll talk about it with Tyrann Mathieu coming up in next hour. What's more likely? You got all that good stuff, Chris?
Let's do it.
Very
yeah.
good.
Sneaky good games.
844-204-RICH is also the number to dial here on this program. We already talked about the Patriots' loss, then from that perspective, with our friend Tom Curran. If you missed any of that, there's our YouTube page. And, of course, there's the Rich Eisen Show collection page right here on the Roku channel. That'll wrap it up for hour number one. Hour number two on the other side. I wouldn't move if I were you. We got a great What's More Likely in store. Tyrann Mathieu and so much more fun on The Rich Eisen Show.